Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, verses 35 through 37. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, come on, shout it with me. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let there be a shout to the head of the church. To the head of the church, Jesus, more than conquerors. Come on. The greatest miracle of supply that ever was or ever will be, was given when God delivered up his son for us all, for each and every one of us, through Jesus. And the great gift of Calvary that was freely given, we have been fully supplied with forgiveness of all our sins. We have been supplied with restoration, with healing, with deliverance, with hope, with peace. We are joined together as co-heirs and co-laborers with Christ. Thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. God preserves the praise of our conquest for himself. He is the one. I said he is the one who has made us more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Get this, it is through Christ that we conquer. Who then can be against us? Who then can separate us from the love of God? The God who did not spare his only son, will he not also graciously give us all things, all that we need? He shall graciously and generously, he shall fully supply. Thus, in all things, we have been made more than conquerors. Thus, in all things, we have what we need to be more than conquerors. Everybody shout that word, conquerors. It means to be more than a conqueror. The Greek word is hupernikao, which means to be more than a conqueror, to gain a surpassing, decisive victory, not just a victory, but to gain a surpassing victory, more than a conqueror, to gain a decisive victory, no question about it. We have been brought into the fullness of God's supply through Christ Jesus by what was accomplished on the cross, surpassing decisive victory that we have gained. How many of us need to gain some decisive victories in our life? Come on, you're in the right place. How many of us need to see some surpassing victories over and above, beyond? Come on, everything we need for victory, everything we need for overcoming, for breakthrough, for winning, all of it has been fully supplied. Our theme for 2025 here at Nairobi Lighthouse Church is fully supplied. And today I want to kick off a brand new series, Fully Supplied to Conquer. Fully supplied to conquer. I'm preaching and ministering right now to conquerors, to overcomers. I mean surpassing, decisive victory, gaining that decisive victory in your life, in your walk with God, in your marriage, your home, your business, gaining decisive victories, living a life seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Remember, it's through Christ, seated with Him in heavenly places, far above all the powers and principalities and spiritual rulers of darkness in high places. Come on, God, by the blood, has done something amazing, brought us into a place that we can live above, surpassing above and beyond, fully supplied to conquer. Myself and others in the coming weeks, we want to look at four accounts of conquering in the Scripture. We want to see what keys that we can learn and apply in our own life, and really grasp what the Spirit of God is saying to us. So I'll begin today, and others will follow me, and we will be learning a key each week for the next few weeks on how to conquer, how to be that, receive that supply and learn to come to that full supply, that we might live an overcoming life, not just barely getting by, but living in that place of decisive victory. Come on, surpassing, gaining the surpassing victory, more than enough. I'm ready for some of that. God wants us to conquer, church. I said, God wants us to conquer. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, then He will quicken your mortal body, bringing you to a place that you're gaining a surpassing, decisive victory, conquering in Him. He has supplied all that we need to win, all that we need to see victory. If you're dealing with perhaps a bondage or a habit or situation in your life that you just seem to be coming back to it again and again and again, we're praying to God, by His power, will bring such supply to you from His Word, and that you will be exceeding, going beyond that which has held you back, that which has kept you chained down, as it were, that those chains will be broken and that you'll be set free and you'll live an overcoming life, conquering and receiving the fullness. Come on, the fullness of supply in Jesus' name. So we're going to look at our first example today. We're going to look at the first account of conquering in the Scripture, and I'm taking you to Judges chapter 7 and verse 7. The Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory. I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. So Gideon collected the provisions and ram's horns of the other warriors and sent them home, but he kept the 300 men with him. The Midianite camp was in the valley just below Gideon. Today we're going to focus this first account of conquering on Gideon, the character Gideon. He's the fifth judge. Gideon was the fifth judge of Israel, whom God used to achieve a mighty victory over the Midianites, who had been oppressing Israel, severely oppressing Israel, devastatingly oppressing Israel. The Bible says the Midianites came into the land. Their camels were without number. They filled the land. They came in at the time of harvest, and they completely destroyed the harvest. And they were completely surrounding on the borders of the nation, and the country, the people of God were completely subdued by the Midianites. But God, in wanting the Israelites to realize his divine, miraculous nature, he gives Gideon some very unique instructions. He tells Gideon to lessen his army from 32,000 to 300. How many of you would say that's quite unique? I mean, Gideon obviously required every possible man that he could have to go against this unbelievable force of the Midianites. But God, his desire was for the Israelites to recognize, to realize his divine nature, his miraculous nature. So he gives Gideon these very unique instructions to lessen his army from 32,000 to 300. Judges 7, verse 22. Now, when the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horns, the Lord, come on, we want God fighting our battles. This is how we come into a place of conquering. The Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. Those who were not killed fled to places. That's what we want to see. We want to see the enemy come at us one way, but he will flee seven ways. Going back to the dry place. Though it probably did not sound logical or strategic, it was a very unique military strategy to decrease the size of the army. Though it was so unique and though it did not seem logical, these instructions that came to Gideon did not seem logical. Gideon obeyed. He obeyed. And I want you to notice something very amazing. It says that God made sure after Gideon obeyed, it says that God made sure that the 300 soldiers had more than what they needed to accomplish the task before them. Come on, he's not a God of just enough. He's a God of more than enough so that we can be more than conquerors. Verse 8 says that Gideon, after he released all these men, the Bible says that Gideon kept the provisions and the ram horns of all the soldiers that had left, all the soldiers that had walked away, 31,000, over 31,000 soldiers, 31,700 soldiers walked away. But Gideon, it says, kept all their provisions and the ram's horns of all the soldiers. You see, God fully supplied Gideon with what was needed to conquer. No wonder when the time came to break the jars of fire and blow the trumpets, they sounded like a very large army. So there are a few keys that we're going to consider to be fully supplied to conquer. And today we will look at just one. We will look at the first one. And we're going to find it in the journey of Gideon. Throughout his journey, we read over and over in Scripture how God instructs Gideon. God tells Gideon what to do. God tells him which steps to take, which steps to avoid, what decisions to make. And so I want you to grasp and take hold of this first truth that we want to leave today with you, to be fully supplied, to be more than a conqueror, to come to that place of conquering, surpassing, decisive victory in your life. Number one, train the hearing ear. Train the hearing ear to listen. To listen. And the willing heart to obey. Train the hearing ear to listen. We're going to jump into Gideon's journey for just a moment. And it really was, in some ways, an incredible journey. time of training for Gideon. Training to hear, or training to the hearing ear to listen, and training the willing heart to obey. The first time that God spoke to Gideon is in Judges chapter 6, the chapter preceding. Judges chapter 6 and verse 12, the angel of the Lord came to Gideon. And the Bible says that Gideon was at a threshing floor. He was at a wine press. He was threshing wheat to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said in Judges chapter 6 and verse 12, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Now, Gideon heard those words, but he did not listen to what was said. And the reason we know that is because of his response. In verse 13, the NIV Bible, verse 13, begins with the word but. But if the Lord is with us, why? So we start going through these verses, and this is Gideon's response. He heard the words, mighty warrior. He heard the words, the Lord is with you. But his response, I wrote them down in the next two verses. But, if, why, when, where, abandoned, weakest, least. If God is with us, where are the miracles? Why has this all happened to us? When will we see deliverance come? Where is it? Is the God who's promised us victory? He's abandoned us. You want me? You want me? My tribe is, we're from the weakest part of the tribe. I'm the least in the household. You see, he heard, but he didn't really listen. He didn't really engage. He immediately put up reason and excuse as to why he is not the man for the job. He heard what the angel said, but he didn't listen to it. It just went in one ear and out the other, and he began immediately to defend and begin immediately to share his fears and his doubts. His ear was untrained. His ear was untrained. The fact is, the entire nation of Israel heard God speak, but they failed to listen. I want you to see Judges chapter 6 and verse 10. This is the prophet standing before the whole nation. And on behalf of God, this is what the prophet said. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not what? Come on, say it out loud. But you have not listened to me. This is the bottom line of why we get ourselves in trouble. Because we don't listen to the instructions. God said, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites. Watcha. But you have not listened to me. There is a big difference between hearing and listening. There's a huge difference between hearing and listening. Listening means we engage. We connect. You know, you can be in a room and there's all kind of people talking around you, but you're talking and listening to one individual. You hear all of the noise. You hear all of the chatter, all of the speaking, but you're listening to one individual. It's like the wife who walks in and her husband is seated there and she begins to say, honey, sweetheart, darling, I have something I want to share with you. And she opens her heart and she begins to share. And right through the middle of her sharing, and I'm sure husbands in this room have heard these very words from your wife. Babe, you're not listening to me. Huh? I see some husbands that, you're not listening. Wait. What? And the husband gets defensive. Yes, I'm listening. No. You're hearing me, but you're not listening to me. See, there's a huge difference. Where are the wives? What's up? Ladies, I'm talking to your husbands now. Maybe this isn't a situation at your house. Gideon heard the angel of the Lord, but he wasn't listening. He's not embracing mighty. He's not engaging and saying, mighty warrior, tell me more. Break that down for me. I want to know what mighty warrior. Whoa, no one's ever addressed me in these terms. What are you seeing in me? You see, are you saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you listening? So there's a huge difference. And God spoke to Israel and told them, do not go after the gods of the Amorites. They heard, but they didn't listen. And that's what the prophet said. You did not listen to me. And that's why the Midianites have filled the land. That's why you're in this predicament that you're in. You did not listen to my instructions. Remember when God told Gideon to go down to the camp of the Midianites? Remember that? He's got his 300 people in place. His army has been trimmed down. And he's got everything ready to go. But God said at the last minute, oh, I love this. God said to Gideon in Judges chapter 7, verse 10, if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Listen to what they are saying. Go down to the camp and listen. I want you to look at me. God is training Gideon's ear to hear. God is training his ear to hear, to listen. So God said, if you're afraid to attack, go with your servant and head down to the enemy's camp and listen to what they're saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. I'm telling you, when you listen to the instruction, you will find courage to move on in Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know in Judges chapter 7, verses 13 through 15, we have the barley loaf dream. Gideon went down with his servant and they stood outside the camp and they heard two old boys up in the tent talking. And one of them said, I dreamt last night that a barley loaf tumbled into our camp, struck our tent, and our tent was knocked down. There's so much I could preach right here, but first I want you to hear something. Barley in Scripture was the least valuable grain. Barley was the least valuable grain. Barley was the most common. And here, these guys are saying, and Gideon is listening, comparing the most invaluable, common, everyday grain, rolling as a loaf of bread into the camp, destroying it. And you know what the other guy said? This is nothing more than the sword of Gideon. God sent Gideon into the camp, training him to listen. And he heard exactly what the angel of the Lord said when the angel said, you are a mighty warrior. God sent Gideon into the enemy's camp to hear the enemy say, Gideon is a mighty warrior. You did not hear what I just said. God sent Gideon into the enemy's camp, training his ear to listen. Go listen, go listen, Gideon. You're about to step into the biggest battle of your life, and you've got to learn to listen to my instructions. I'm going to instruct you every step of the way, but you've got to learn to listen. I don't need any more of the manenos from you, that you're weak and that you're least and that you're abandoned and that's when and why and where and how and who. I need you to get down there amongst them, and I need you to hear what the enemy is saying. Listen. And after that, you're going to have great courage. Oh, God, train our ears to hear, to listen to what the Spirit is saying. If we can listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church, he who has ears to hear, let him listen to what the Spirit is saying. And that brings us to that place of conquering. When we find an instructions, when we receive the instructions. Come on. From the moment God appeared to Gideon through the angel, he started a journey of giving Gideon several instructions that led him to conquer every step of the way, training his ear to listen to those instructions was so imperative. We read again and again, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, in the journey of Gideon, you read this over and over, and God said, and God said. Church, to train the ear, you need to ask yourself, who am I listening to? That's where it begins. Are you listening to his instructions? Who has your ear? Who are you engaged with? Who are you connecting with? Who are you listening to? Whose voice? Whose influence? Whose instructions? God gave instructions as to what Gideon was to do and supplied him with everything he needed to conquer. But the conquering only came according to Gideon's response. And that's where I want to now bring in, as we wrap this up, I want to bring in the second part of this truth here today, this willingness, this willing heart, this heart to obey the instructions. God gave him instructions over and over. Many times we want God to give us the victory in certain areas of our lives, but the question really remains, are we willing to heed his instructions? Are we really willing? We want to live as more than a conqueror. We want to walk in that place of surpassing decisive victories. But the question is, are we willing to heed his instructions? Training begins with willingness. I believe every one of us, I decree it over every one of us in this service, we all have a willing heart. In the name of Jesus, I decree that we all have a willing heart. That's where it begins. If you're not willing, it needs to start right there. A willing heart to obey God's instructions. We need to determine which instructions we're listening to. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Gideon had a willing heart. You know why? He hid grain from the Midianites. He had a willing heart. He was willing to be proactive. He was willing to do something to help care for his family so that his family could continue living. He had a willing heart. He preserved his reserve, which shows initiative. It shows willingness. He wasn't just going to lay down and die. He wasn't just going to give in and abdicate his responsibilities. He stayed willing to stay involved and to be an answer to his family and to help. And he preserved his reserves. But God told him to get rid of his reserves, 31,700 men, to trim his army down to 200. And Gideon obeyed. He obeyed those instructions, and the rest is history. When Jesus appeared to Peter, after they had toiled all night, in John chapter 21, Peter said, "I go a-fishing." This is after Christ has risen from the dead. And they are just perplexed. They're confused. And Peter said, "I go a-fishing." And the disciples, some of the disciples said, "We go with you." And they fished all night and took nothing. At the daybreak, they saw Jesus, not knowing it was Jesus. They saw him on the shore. And Jesus said, "Children, have you any fish?" And they said, "None." He said, "Cast the net on the right side." A simple instruction to cast the net to the other side. And it caused a great miracle to take place. Pastor David Briggs always said, "How wide is a boat? How wide is a boat?" In other words, sometimes we question the instructions we are given. The instructions we are being asked to make are not necessarily major instructions. Cast the net on the other side. It wasn't necessarily a major one. We need to learn and practice to heed the instructions given. Come on, that we're well instructed in the name of Jesus. A lot of times you won't necessarily hear, "Thus says the Lord." A lot of times you're not going to hear or have it written in the sky, "Thus says the Lord." It often comes as instructions from your pastor. The word of the Lord often comes as instructions from your cell leader, teacher, from your teacher, from your parent, those who are in civil authority, even road signs. Have you ever been in traffic that was so unnecessary? Hello. If you've driven in this city for any length of time, have you ever been in traffic that was so unnecessary just because a few people, not that many, not everybody, but a few people decided not to heed the instructions? They decided not to heed the rules of staying in line and waiting their turn. We Kenyans, I said, we Kenyans, this is not an alien certificate. This is a bona fide citizen's ID card. We Kenyans are some of the most impatient drivers in the world. In the world. You're going along, you're having a good day, when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, for no reason, and your Christianity is tested. Your vocabulary is tested. Somebody decided not to heed the instructions, the rules of staying in line and waiting their turn. Listen, we live in a day and an age where listening and obeying instructions is an option. It has become optional. People have to go to lengths to convince us why we should do it this way. People have to go to great lengths to convince us why we should do it this way. And you know what? This is seeped into the church. When God speaks, it becomes harder to listen and obey because of this culture that we have developed. We have developed, and it's invaded the church, a culture that says everything has to be proven. We must be convinced of the logic and the reasoning. What happened to the walk of faith? What happened to blind faith, just believing God? It doesn't make sense. To our natural mind, 31,700 men, I need every fighting man available. Send them home. Get rid of them. Only the ones who lap water like dogs. My goodness. This is going from bad to worse. When God speaks, it's hard. It becomes harder to listen and obey because of the culture, a culture that says everything has to be proven. We've got to be convinced. A culture that pressures us to first agree and then be emotionally aligned before we obey. We first must agree, then we must have it settle in our emotions, and then we will obey. What? But it seems with each generation, it's going from bad to worse. We won't go far, church, if we have not learned how to heed God-given instructions. We're not going to go far in our journey with God until we learn to heed God-given instructions. Victory will not come just from what we hear or what we know. It will only come from what we obey. Faith without works is dead, James 2:17 says. It's not just the hearing, it's the doing. Come on, think about an army asking many questions to why they should do what they are being asked to do in the midst of a war. Imagine an army who begins to question the commands coming down to them. I don't see many of those army surviving. I don't see many of that within that army conquering. Imagine a commanding officer giving instructions and a soldier responds with why? Why? Imagine in the midst of a war, the command comes and the soldiers say, why? Or the soldier says, make it make sense. Make it make sense. Or could you explain that some more? Can you break that down for me? I need to know why. Or what if the soldier said, I don't feel like doing that. I don't feel like taking that hill. I don't feel like climbing up to the top of that hill. I don't feel like it. Or what if the soldier said, let me think about that command for a while to see if it really settles on the inside of me. Oh, that's a big one in the church today. It's just got to settle on the inside and then I'll do it. Yeah, if I got peace, go take that hill. Well, let me get the peace first. Oh, here's one. I'm going to research this on ChatGPT, and I'm going to research this, and I'll get back to you. I will get back to you at some point. What? That war, those soldiers are not going to conquer. I don't like that instruction. Give me an easier one. Or here's one. My buddies and I have a different opinion. Proverbs teaches us to heed instructions as wise people. Only fools ignore them. Proverbs chapter 1 verses 5 through 9 teaches us heed instructions as wise people. Hello, wise people. God created us to live by faith and obey His commands, but many have trained themselves to live by sight and to live by proof before we can even consider if we are to obey the instructions. We have been fully supplied, church, fully supplied to conquer. Everything we need to live the overcoming, conquering life is right here in this instruction manual. If we will simply allow ourselves to be instructed, willing to be instructed, and then when we receive the instructions, we obey them, now we're moving into something. Come on. Let's train ourselves to listen and to obey God's instructions and see the miracles taking place in Jesus' name. Your project extend is dependent upon it. Your breakthrough is dependent upon it. Your marriage is dependent upon it. Your success is dependent upon it. Be assured, whatever God says, whatever He is asking you to do, whatever His word directs you to do, whatever instructions that He gives you, your victory is on the other side of your obedience. In Jesus' name, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus and to live the conquering life. Listen, heed and obey instructions to conquer in every area of your life. Hello, conquerors. Give Jesus a hand clap of praise. He's brought us out to bring us in. You say, Pastor, there's some areas where I just need to develop that ability to listen. To listen. I really need to develop. I need to be trained. I'm so quick. To say why. I'm so quick to believe why it cannot happen. I'm so quick to want to be convinced. I'm so quick. I've fallen into this culture, Pastor. I want to come out of this. I want to be able to, by faith, as I hear what the word of the Lord is and I receive it, I really listen, and then I willingly obey those instructions. Lift your hands right now. Wherever God's dealing with you, whatever area of your heart and your life, come on, that we would be quick to hear, quick to hear, quick to hear. You know, so many times I've heard that the world's greatest leaders, down through history, I've heard it over and over again, the world's greatest leaders are the world's greatest listeners, who have developed the art of listening. God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, to listen, to engage. God, very areas of our lives, of our marriages, our homes, our business, Lord, our relationships, God, help us to listen. Help us to heed. Help us, God, to take note, a willing heart to embrace your instructions, a willingness to be instructed, that, Lord, we would never rise up and not be willing to be instructed, Lord, and then act upon those instructions, obey your instructions. God, do it, we pray. Work deeply in our hearts, oh God, by the Spirit of the Lord, we pray, and we give you the praise. I thank you for turning things around. I thank you for the supernatural abilities that you're giving your church to conquer, to live that overcoming, gaining surpassing decisive victories in the name of Jesus, because of a tender, pliable heart, a heart that's ready to obey, ears ready to listen, that we would not be like the Israelites, Lord, who chose the God of the Amorites, that we would rise up and be your people and walk in your ways, fully instructed and thus fully supplied. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now let's rejoice. Come on. He's got our good in mind. He's got our good in mind. Have an incredible week, everybody. Have an overcoming week. Remember, tomorrow we begin our 5 days of prayer and fasting. We end here at 6:30 Friday evening with a great worship evening. Office will open each day at 10 o'clock. Have a great, great week, and the Lord bless you.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.